Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again today. Hope all of you had a great Thanksgiving last week, and I know it was a good one for us. And as I shared with you, it was my mother's birthday, and so we just had a good time in the Lord. It was kind of a sad weekend as we approached the weekend. We actually had three different deaths and two funerals and have another one coming up in the next week. So, but other than that, God was great. God is good. And we just appreciate all that he does for us. And we appreciate this opportunity to come to you this morning and to share his word with you. So we're glad that you're listening with us. We hate that maybe some of you are stuck at home because you're sick this morning and not able to go to church. So we're hoping, we'll pray that you get better so you can be back at church. If there's those that are traveling, maybe you're going somewhere this weekend and you're listening to us on the radio, then we pray that you'll get there safely. But let's do go to the Lord and just ask him to bless our time together this morning. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you once again for the opportunity to come and share your word on this radio station. We thank you for all that you have done for us in the past year. And Lord, it's hard to believe. Here we are in December. Here we are in that last month of the year. And so, Lord, we know that, Lord, that you've been good to bring us to this point. So, Lord, see us through the rest of the year. I pray, Lord, that you'll just speak through me this morning. Cleanse me of my sin and my unrighteousness, Lord, and make me a vessel that you can speak through today. I just pray that nothing will stand between me and you today, but give me clean hands and a pure heart, Lord. I pray that, Lord, it'll always be your words and not ours, that Jesus will be uplifted, that, Lord, if it's one lost, listening to us this morning, they'll come to know him as Lord and Savior. We pray that Satan will be bound. Don't let him distract us or steal what you have for us today. And so, Lord, we do pray for those that may be sick. We know the flu's going around. We know the COVID's still here and just other problems that people are having. Lord, we just lift them up to you, ask you to restore them to their health soon. We pray for one that may be lost this morning. Lord, we just ask you that they would come to know you as Lord and Savior. We pray for those that may be traveling today, that you give them traveling graces, that they will be able to make it to their destination and home back safe and sound. But Lord, we give ourselves to you now over these next 30 minutes. Speak to us from your precious word as we give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. All right, this morning we're going to be back over in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to begin reading in verse 38 through verse 46. It's kind of like we've been over in 1 Samuel and 1 and 2 Chronicles, it seems like, for a pretty good while. I don't know why my studies have brought me to this part of the Old Testament. It seems like every week the Lord's given us a message from this, but I believe that he's speaking to us from these two books of the Bible that talk about the life and the times of the Israelite people and what are happening to them and those men that were leading them and that were helping them. So this morning we're going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning with verse 38 through verse 36, as we think about whose armor are you wearing? Whose armor are you wearing? Now, we all know the story of David and Goliath, do we not? It's one that we learned from the time that we were a child. And if you have been raised in church in any, then you know the story of David and Goliath. You know how that David, that young man, that youth, how that he goes and slays Goliath. But have you ever really thought about in this story the three characters that are there and the talking about the armor that they have? We see it talks about Saul's armor, it talks about Goliath's armor, it talks about David not having on armor, and we'll get to all that in just a few minutes. But you know, when we really look at what we're facing today as Christian people, we're facing a lot of Goliaths, aren't we? We're facing a lot of Goliaths. There's a lot of Goliaths that we as Christian people are facing in our world right now. I know us preachers, we're facing a lot of Goliaths. We're going to face more and more the more that the government steps in and passes legislation about what we can preach, what we can't preach, who we have to do for and who we don't, and you can't say no to anybody. Isn't that amazing? I just never have understood how someone can own their own business and pay taxes and own their own business and then the government don't tell them what they have to do with that business. I mean, where are we headed? Are we headed into the socialism? Are we headed into the communist rule? What are we headed to in our nation? So we're facing some great giants. We're facing some great Goliath, just as they were here in Israel, was facing here with these Philistines and with Goliath. And we know that David came before him with with 5 stones, and it only took 1, didn't he? You know, some people said that the reason he picked up 5 is because Goliath had brothers, and so he wanted to have enough ammunition. You know, isn't that something? You know, I believe in the Second Amendment right, and I love to hunt. I love to shoot my guns and everything. And it's like I tell people all the time. I said, you know, if we can't get bullets, then what is a gun? It's just a stick in your hand. It's just a club, isn't it, if you don't have a bullet to put in it? Well, old David, you know, he picks up 5 stones, but it only took 1. And some says it was because those brothers of Goliath. I don't know. That's just what some people allude to and like to stretch that sermon a little bit. But, you know, I know that David, that his faith was in God, as you know. We're facing some Goliaths. We got to be prepared, folks. So we got to ask ourselves, what are we doing? Whose armor are we wearing? What kind of armor are we going to have? Is our armor going to help us to be victorious over the Goliaths that we face, just as David's armor was for his? Or will our armor fail us like Goliath's armor failed him? So let's get into the scripture and just see what it says. Like I said, you know the story. So we find in 1 Samuel chapter 17 now. 1 Samuel chapter 17. My mama tells me I don't tell you the scripture enough. 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning with verse 38. And it says, "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head, and also he armed him with his coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man bare his shield before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto him, to David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with sword and with spear and with shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass to the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Whew, isn't that something? That this little old youth standing out there before this big old Goliath and says to him, I'm fixing to kill you, and I'm going to prove to the people there is what? A show enough young man here that's strong and ready to go. Is that what he said? I'm going to show you just the power of a shepherd, that what a shepherd boy can do. I'm going to show you just how strong I am. You got that shield and you got that spear and you got all that armor on, but I'm just going to show you who I am. No, that's not what he said. What did he say? He said, I'm going to show the world today that there is a God in Israel. Brothers and sisters, if the world ever needed to see, if our nation ever needed to know that there is still a God in the United States of America, we're trying to push him out, we're trying to get rid of him, but there is still a God in the United States of America. And if it was ever a time that people need to know and see that there's a God in the United States of America, then we as Christian people have got to prove it to them. And the only way we can prove it to them is by facing down the Goliaths of this world, the Goliaths of our nation, the Goliaths that face us day in and day out. We've got to be willing and have the courage to face them down. But you know, it all boils down to maybe is whose armor are you wearing? You remember the story of what happens here, that David was at home, his brothers are all fighting the Philistine armies, one on one on side and the Israelites on the other side, and every day this big giant of Goliath would come out and challenge the Israelite people, say, look, no use all of you dying, no use everybody getting killed. I'm going to just fight. Y'all send out y'all's best man, and we'll just fight it, and ever who wins, and that we'll know that's who wins. They just send them out. And every day he would come out, and he would talk bad about the God of Israel, and he would put down the God of Israel. So David, his father, sends him out there, and you remember the story, to take his brother some victuals, something to eat, maybe some cheese and bread, maybe some milk or something. But he comes, and he sees what's going on. And he asked him, said, what's going on? And so they began to tell him. His older brother gets on and said, why are you doing here? You're just a nosy little old runt. You know, you just a nosy teenager. You want to get in on everything, don't you? And he said, no, what have I done? I hadn't done anything. I just came to bring you this feed. And he hears Goliath boasting. And so he asked him, why don't somebody go out there and take care of him? And they said, well, you want to do it? He said, yeah, I'll do it. So they bring him to Saul. Now, who is Saul? Saul is that king that they had asked for. Saul himself was a big man. And you remember we talked about him last week or so, how that he stood, what, shoulders and a head higher than any other man. So Saul's a big man himself. But we see this old Goliath, he's a lot bigger, isn't he? He's a lot bigger. And so nobody wants to go out and fight him. And so Saul hears David's boast. I'll go do it. And he tells him, you can't do that, son. You're just a kid. He said, you just don't know. The God that delivered the lion into my hand and the bear into my hand, he'll deliver this Philistine into my hand. And he said, but you're not prepared. You can't go. And then that's where we pick it up today. Saul tries to put what? His armor on David. So I want to ask you this morning, whose armor are you wearing? You know, there's three different characters in this story, and I want us to look at three different armors this morning. And I want you to ask yourself the question, whose armor are you wearing? Are you overcoming the Goliaths in your life? Are you able to destroy the Goliaths in your life or not? If not, maybe you got on the wrong armor today. Maybe you hadn't put on that right armor. Maybe you need to change armor today. And so when we get through with this message, I hope that you'll look at your life and see whose armor are you wearing. So the first we're going to look at is Goliath's armor. Then we're going to look at Saul's armor. And then we'll look at David's armor, the armor that he has. So let's look first of all at Goliath's armor. Well, let's read and just see what it says about old Goliath and his armor. Turn back, if you will, in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel to verses 4 through 8. Listen to what he says there. And they went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had on greaves of brass upon his legs and targets of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed about 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and he cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you not come out and set at battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose you a man, and let him come down to me. Now, look at this story. As I said, they're in battle, and so the Philistines has this giant. We see that most scholars say he was 9 foot 9 inches tall, because he was 6 cubits, and that's about 17 and a half inches, and then a span. A span is 6 inches. It's kind of the reach from your little finger to your thumb if you stretch across. That's a span. So he would have been approximately 9 feet and 9 inches. Now, some even said that a cubit was about 21 inches. Well, that would have made him about 11 feet tall. So needless to say, this is one big fella, right? I mean, this is one big fella. I've never seen anybody over about 7'2". I've known a couple people that were about 7'2 or 7'3, and those are some big men. Tall men. But can you imagine looking over there, and here's this man who is standing there 9 feet and 6 inches or 9 inches tall, and he's in array in all of this armor. Can you imagine that? And not only does he have all this armor, but he has a spear in his hand. And what did it say about that spear? It says the beam of it was like a light post. I mean, the beam of it was like a fence post. It was like a weaver's board, it says, you know, a weaver's post. And so it was a big long, heavy spear. Most men couldn't even pick it up, hardly, much less be able to use it in battle and be agile with it. But here we see this is the way he's standing. That the head of the spear, it said, weighed what? 20 pounds. Did you see that? It weighed 20 pounds, just a head of the spear. Now you think about that. I know when I was younger and I used to pick up my boys, and matter of fact, one of my boys was doing this. We used to take a 10-pound maul, you know, there on the end of a hammer, of a sledgehammer, and you take it, hold it in your hand, hold it out, and you ease it back with your wrist, you know, to your nose, and see if you could touch your nose and then bring it back without hitting yourself. Can you imagine? That was just like with a 10-pound sledgehammer on a small handle, just trying to get it back to your head and back. But can you imagine, this man's got, I mean, a fence post with a 20-pound head on the end of it, and he's just weaving it around like it's nothing. That's a big man. That's a scary picture in it. When you really look at his armor and you see what he had, that helmet of brass. Now, this coat of mail, it says it weighed 166 pounds. Now, you think about that. You men that's been toting that deer corn to your deer feeders every week. What if you took 3 50-pound bags of deer corn and put on your shoulders and then got you another 5-gallon bucket full and towed it in your hand? Could you tote that around very easy? I mean, his coat weighed 166 pounds. His helmet was a brass. His coat was it says mail. Now, what that means is, it was like scales. You know, they took plates of the brass and they made them overlap, kind of like shingles on a house. You've seen pictures of them. You know what I'm talking about. But then he had skins of brass on his leg. Now, why would you think that? You think about it just a minute. You got a man that's almost 3 foot taller than everybody else. It's kind of hard to reach to his head to start with, but boy, you chop his legs off. You know what I've always heard in fighting, you know, you take a man's legs out from under him, it's kind of hard for him to fight if he can't stand up, right? So we see he even had armor all on his legs, and they call it skin armor, on his legs and the things that he had. We see that he had a gorget, a bronze gorget that said between his shoulders. It was actually bronze. And then he had that spear that we were talking about, and then his shield, and it was what? A shield bearer that ran before him. In other words, he had a man actually toting his shield for him because it was probably so big, and he had that big spear in his hand. Well, you know, when I think about Goliath and I think about this depiction of his armor, you know what I call it? I call it worldly armor. Worldly armor. So I ask you this morning, are you wearing worldly armor? Are you wearing Goliath's armor? Goliath is defiling the one and only true God. He's a Philistine. He's out there in the world. He's all about the world. He's all about everything. And so we see he's so full of pride in himself. And do you see that's exactly what happens to us when we get worldly? What did he say in verse 43 and 44? He said to David, he said, am I a dog that you come to me with a staff? He says, he began to curse David by his God. And he said to David, come to me and I'll give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Am I just a dog? You can see his pride, can't you? Y'all think I'm just a dog? Y'all send this kid out here? I mean, he's standing there in all array and all that armor. He's just full of himself, isn't he? He's full of his pride. But let's think about that armor just a few minutes. When I think about this worldly armor, you know, worldly armor provokes fear. You know, that was the whole point of Goliath being such a giant and him standing on that mountain and hollering every day, dressed in all of this armor. It was to provoke fear upon the Israelite men. And guess what? It was working. Yeah, it was working, wasn't it? Nobody wanted to go into battle. Nobody wanted to meet him. Only this youth called David. So we see that it was a worldly, prideful, you know, just provoking fear. And that's what the world does to us, is it not? The world doesn't try to take away your fear. It tries to cause fear. We've seen this in what's going on in our nation time and time again. Just trying to control us by causing fear upon us. We see that this is a worldly armor because it tried to cover every hole up. I mean, don't leave anything open. Like I said, he had skin on his legs, armor on his legs because he was so tall. He had the corset going up around his neck and around his chest and all this bronze. He didn't want to leave anything open. There's nothing. We're going to be all inclusive. We're going to cover all the bases. Is that not what the world tries to do? Is that not the kind of armor that God, that the world would have you to have? You know, think about it just a minute. It tries to cover. Nobody's left out, right? Everybody's inclusive. Don't hurt anybody's feelings. Don't say anything offensive. Now, it's all right if we offend you as Christians, but boy, don't y'all offend us now. We got all our bases covered. We're covering everything that we can. You know, there's no way. They go to the extreme. Look at the extremism of this, of his armor. I mean, this man, as big as he was, and with that big old spear, he probably didn't even need any armor. Probably nobody ever get close enough to him with that big spear to even need all that armor. So we can see the extreme that the world goes to try to get you to follow it and try to serve it. But guess what? We see something happens, though, don't we? We see this was Goliath's own armor. I mean, there was probably no other man that could wear it, nobody his size, much less could tote it around. And guess what? It could not save him. It was faulty. There was still one spot uncovered, that forehead. And one rock took him down. One rock slung from a young boy's sling brought the champion of the Philistines to his knees. And as he falls over, guess what? David don't even have a sword with him. He takes Goliath's own sword and cuts Goliath's head off with his own sword. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. If you're trying to put on a worldly armor today, if you're trying to put on Goliath's armor today, if you're trying to go to the extremes in this world, you're trying to cover all your bases with the world, if you're trying to make sure that you're so full of pride and you're your own person and you're going to live like you want to and all these things, listen to me, it's faulty. It gives a false sense of security. And it will bring death. Your own armor will end up killing you. That rock went in his forehead, but his own sword cut his head off. That rock, we know who he is, don't we? That rock of foundation that we stand on, we call him Jesus Christ. This is an Old Testament verse. But that rock took Goliath down. Worldly armor cannot protect you. Well, let's look at the second one. The second one is Saul's armor. Now let's look at what we said, read about Saul's armor also. Look at verses, going back, verses 38 there in 39, and Saul armed David with his armor. He put on what? A helmet of brass upon his head. He armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded about what? Upon his armor, the sword, and he tried to go. Now look, do you notice something here? How close Saul's armor looks like Goliath's armor. He had a helmet of brass. What did Goliath have? He had a helmet of brass. He had a coat of mail. What is Goliath had? He had a coat of mail. Once again, he maybe didn't weigh 160. He had what? He had his sword. He had these same things that we see that Goliath had. But what happened? What's wrong with his armor? What's wrong with Saul's armor? Whose armor are you wearing? What's wrong with Saul's armor? Well, you know what I call Saul's armor? I call it the religious armor. See, Goliath had a worldly armor, but we see old Saul had a religious armor. Armor. His was a religious armor. And his like Goliath, he gave a false sense of security. It gave a false sense of security. Religion will give you a false sense of security. Saul's armor, Goliath's armor looked a lot alike. It looks a lot like the world. And we see that David tried to put it on. Did you see that? He tried to put it on, but what happened? He couldn't word. He couldn't tote it. I mean, it was too much. He said, I can't move. When he put the sword around him, he tried to get around. He couldn't get around. He said, man, I couldn't move. That big giant will kill me dead at the door now if I go out there and this. I'm not going to word this. Listen to me. If you don't hear anything else, you hear this statement. You can wear another man's religion, but you can't wear another man's relationship with God. Did you hear that? You can wear another man's religion, but you can't wear another man's relationship with God. This worldly, this religious, these armors of Goliath and Saul, they were faulty. They could not protect them. They were outward. This religion is an outward one. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees? You know, you clean the inside of the dish, but the outside of the dish, but the inside is dirty. It's an outward appearance. That's all this armor was to Saul. It was to protect him outwardly. And it's like the Pharisees were. And Saul didn't get it. It couldn't erase his fear, could it? You know, a religious armor can't take your fear of death out. Let me ask you something. Are you afraid of dying? You know, we had the tornado warnings going off this week in town. You know, and people were scrambling, weren't they? Are you afraid of dying? You know, none of us want to die. I don't want to die, but I'm not afraid of dying. I just tell you. Because I know. I got on the what? We're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to get on David's armor. But we see Saul's armor could not remove his fear of dying. He would not go out there and face him. He wouldn't do it. And listen to me. It was just an outward false security. Once again, didn't mean anything. It was just that outward fit. It didn't fit. I mean, David couldn't wear it. Because what did I say? You can wear another man's religion, but you can't wear another man's relationship with God. Did it protect Saul? Well, you go on over to chapter 31 of 1 Samuel, and you'll see that it didn't protect him at all. He gets in another battle with the Philistines. His three sons are killed, Jonathan one of them. And we see that it gets so bad that what does he do? He tells his armor bearer to stick his sword through and through him and kill him. And his armor bearer said, I'm not killing you. You're the king. And what did Saul do? He took his own life. Because see, his armor couldn't protect him. The Bible says, you know, that the arrows, the ones shooting the bows and the archers had been shooting bows and they had gotten through his armor. And he was wounded and he didn't want to be captured and made sport of and tortured. So he commits suicide and killed himself. A religious armor won't save you. A worldly armor won't save you. Well, what kind of armor then? Let's look at David's armor. We got to hurry. We're running out of time. What kind of armor then did David have? What kind of armor did he put on? Did he say, hey, let me run back home to my house and down at my dad's in my closet, I got my armor hanging up. Is that what he said? No. He had his armor right there with him. Listen, David's armor was an invisible armor. What? It was an invisible armor. It wasn't showing brassy like old Goliath's. It wasn't like old David's. It wasn't like old Saul's, excuse me, that David couldn't wear. Because his armor was an invisible armor. It was one that was one from inside. And in verse 39, what did it say David did? And David said, I hadn't proved this armor. I can't wear this armor. And he put them off of him. And he went and got his staff. And he went and picked up 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in his bag, took his sling, and went out there and met Goliath. Now, what's the difference here? What's the difference here? Well, you go over to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 17, and he says there that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power. He says, therefore, what? Put on the whole armor. Excuse me. Put on the whole armor of God. It don't have any holes in it. You hear me? It don't have any holes in it. It brings forth courage. It brings forth a sense of security that you know. You don't have to have all this brassy stuff. Put on that whole armor of God. Now, what was it? He says, put on that helmet of salvation, that breastplate of righteousness. Gird your loins about with truth. You know, be shod with the gospel of peace. Take the sword, the word of God, and take the shield of faith out there before you to confront the fiery dart. See, this is the armor David had on. He had on the armor of God, which has no holes in it. Salvation through Jesus. Righteousness within our hearts. Truth about our loins. Our shoes of gospel of peace. our sword, the word of God, cutting asunder, two-edged sword, our shield of faith after our in front of us. See, his whole armor was an armor of salvation and faith and righteousness and truth. And brothers and sisters, when we put on that kind of armor, when we have that kind of armor brings courage and it brings victory. And David, what did he do? He went out there and he told Goliath, he said, look, I'm fixing to put a whooping upon you. You keep telling me that, but I'm going to come and I'm going to show you and I'm going to destroy you and I'm going to prove to all the Israel that there is a God in Israel. Oh, brothers and sisters, whose armor are you wearing today? Whose armor are you wearing today? Are you trying Goliath's armor, caught up in the world, real extreme and brash, and trying to cover all your bases, you know, everything goes? Maybe you're trying Saul's armor, that religious armor. You know, that religious armor that you just think, well, you know, the religion will get it, but yet, you know, you can share it around here and there, but and you don't have to have a relationship yourself. It's just kind of an outward appearance. Or do you really have that invisible armor that David had on? That armor that was within his heart. That armor of salvation that he understood in his mind who God is. And he had a relationship with them and he knew what the truth was. And he had that shield of faith. And through the word of God and his truth, he overcame Goliath. What about you this morning? If we're going to overcome the Goliaths of the day, we've got to wear the right armor. Whose armor are you wearing? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for these that have listened so attentively. We thank you, Lord, that you give us a real armor. Not one's on the outside, but one's on the inside. That even if the outward man perishes, the inward man is being renewed day in day. Lord, if there's one that doesn't know you, if there's one trying the wrong armor on today, help them to see that they got to have a relationship with you to have the right armor. Speak to their hearts now. Thank you for being in our midst today. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.